truth will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we're continuing our studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Here's our teacher, Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University.
Well, welcome back to our continuing study of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We're concerned that we understand together the active ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts as believers. And today I'd like to begin a discussion of the Spirit's conflict with the flesh. I know of no better place to find this discussed than Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. These verses compactly summarize the teaching of the New Testament about the reality that there is a war going on within the heart of every person. Let's read these verses together, and as we read them, keep in mind that we're discussing the Spirit's conflict with the flesh. Beginning with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's important for us at the outset to appreciate that even though this passage is talking about the conflict between the Holy Spirit of God who indwells our hearts and our sinful human nature, which we still possess as believers, that the whole emphasis of this passage is the victory that is available and possible to the person who learns to depend on and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. This passage has as its very basis the idea that the omnipotent power of God is present within our very beings, in our hearts, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first thing I'd like you to notice is found in verses 16 through 18 in this passage. Note that there are opposing forces within the human heart. This is clearly presented to us in verses 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 16 is presenting to us the possibility of victory through the Holy Spirit. This is clearly a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust on the part of the believer. The believer must believe that the Spirit of God is in him, that God never forsakes him, that God is willing to strengthen him in the inner man, as Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers in Ephesians 3:16. We're told in this passage to walk in the Spirit. Now that figure of speech is a very suggestive one. It tells us that our daily living is that which is to be affected by the indwelling power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't only depend on the Holy Spirit when we're involved in some special act of ministry. We certainly should depend upon Him. We certainly should pray that He will use us and empower us, and that we will be as Jesus described in John 7, having rivers of refreshing ideas and concepts from the Word of God flowing out of our lives to others through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But this passage is suggesting that it's important we understand that how we live every day, the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts, are to be that which reflect the control of the Spirit. There's something in the word walk that just simply suggests a steady, constant plodding along throughout daily life in the barrage of ethical issues that face each of us. I remember hearing a hymn which says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a joy He sheds on our way." When we walk with the Lord. So let's keep in mind that we are to walk, carry out our daily affairs by the power of the Spirit. And that's the next thing to learn in verse 16. The passage says, "Walk in the Spirit," or perhaps better, "by the Spirit." We don't just walk in an aura and an atmosphere of the presence of the Spirit, but literally, by His empowering, we are to know daily victory over sin and iniquity. This passage says, if we do walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the lust of the flesh means that our human nature, our flesh, as Paul is using the term here in a figurative sense, our sinful human nature has desires. We will have rise up in our hearts compulsions, things that we want to do that are really not appropriate at all for the true believer. And we must be careful to recognize that when those desires arise, they are not consistent with the Word, and we must turn from them and go the way that the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, would wish us to go. The only antidote to the wrong impulses that rise up in our hearts is the presence and working of the Holy Spirit of God, giving us righteous compulsions, righteous desires, warning us when we're being tempted by sin and coming very near sin. Now, verse 17 continues the thought that's presented at the end of verse 16. 16 says, "You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you walk in the Spirit." Verse 17 then goes on to develop it by saying, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." It's interesting that here the Spirit is said to lust, and the flesh is said to lust. Now, it's clear from this that the word lusting does not always carry with it in the Bible a negative meaning, a negative connotation. It simply means desire. It simply means compulsion. And there is within us as Christians conflicting compulsions. And often, as this verse of Scripture shows us so clearly, those conflicting compulsions may actually cause us some frustration, even inhibit our actions that would be pleasing to God. The flesh and the Spirit are working contrary one to the other, against one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You're just simply caught in the middle, in a state of weakness. I think this idea is presented to us in Romans 7:18 by the Apostle Paul when he wrote, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." The apostle had experienced this frustration. There's probably not a Christian who's hearing me speak that has not at one time or another experienced this very frustration. But we've learned already from the beginning verse in this passage that we need not stay frustrated. We need not be held back in acting as we should in obedience to the commands of God. We're commanded of the Lord in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to bring to full development our deliverance from iniquity and sin, and our obedience to the urgings of the Spirit of God as we are taught from the Word of God. Now we can see from verses 16 and 17 that there are these opposing forces within the human heart. But we're also told in verse 18 that there are benefits of going the way of the Spirit and rejecting the way of the flesh. Verse 18 says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." That's interesting to notice that we actually are described as people who can experience the leading of the Holy Spirit, a continual leading of the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that God the Holy Spirit, using the written Word of God, using the preaching of people we listen to, using the exhortations of friends, even using circumstances, can direct our thinking, our feelings, in a way that is pleasing to Him. And as consecrated Christians, we should be very sensitive to compulsions and desires and interests we have that are consistent with the Word of God, that are righteous things. One Scottish preacher named Alexander McLaren once noted that the desires that well up in our hearts must not be viewed as something that simply comes from the little cistern in our life of our own individual will, but rather as something imparted to us by God, and that we should note them and not be recipients of the grace of God in vain. That's good counsel from that preacher of the 19th century who was known as the Prince of Expositors. He understood that God is not forcing the will of any Christian. He's not overriding and coercing any Christian, but that God by His Spirit graciously and generously does give us righteous compulsions that result in us doing things that we ought to do. This is more than just a pointing out of the way like an Indian guide helping an explorer. This is an assisting and an enabling. And we're told if we follow the leadership of the Spirit, we are not under the law. We are not guilty of judgment. We are not condemned by the standards of God, because we've gone the righteous way. There are opposing forces within the heart, we've learned, but there are benefits if we choose the way of the Spirit.
We want to thank Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University, for today's study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You won't want to miss a single broadcast in this series, so make a note of this time, Monday through Friday. The Bible Institute of the Air is a presentation of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.